Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Warden. My guest today is Donatella Adanti. Donatella's family winery is called Cantine Adanti, and the winery is in the Montefalco region of Umbria. Which town are you in the Montefalco zone?
We are in Bevagna.
Which is one of the best communes, isn't it? You're going to be too modest to say that, but it's true.
It's a nice town indeed. Montefalco and other here around.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the history of the Adanti family. How did they get into wine? Is it a young winery or an old winery?
No, it isn't young. It is one of the historical cellars here in the area. So my father began in the early 70s.
What was your dad called?
My father, Domenico Adanti, and he was very passionate of wines, and he wanted to make a winery here in the area where there wasn't any winery, any modern winery at the time. Of course, wine has always been made here by farmers, but we didn't have any winery here around. So there is one, but there was only the current Scaccia Diavoli was a historical winery here, owned by an aristocratic family of Rome. So let's say my father had this idea to make a winery with modern technology. The aim was that of making good wines such as the French ones, because at that time enology in Italy was at the beginning. So for us the aim was to make good wines as French ones. So the aim was for the French ones.
And looking at the French styling.
Yes, the French way and the French technique to make wines, because as you know, enology in Italy, modern enology, starts from the 80s. It's not a very old enology. The precious and good wines in Italy all start from the 80s. So before, a lot of wine was made, but bulk wine and mass wine, and my father wanted to make this, and it was something like an experiment. Also, the idea, which now is very modern, to rediscover the old varieties of the old vines, such as Sagrantino, was one of his aim. If you look at the first wineries in the first Italian wine guides from the 70s and the early of the 80s, maybe we are the only existing winery in the still existing winery in the area. There were other 2-3 wineries which do not exist anymore, making Sagrantino for the first time in a dry way, but we are the only existing one.
And Scacciadiavoli?
Scacciadiavoli was owned by other people.
Ah, so you're the only surviving family.
And they didn't make, at that time, they didn't make wines. With the Pambuffetti family, they came to a new life. There was the Cantina Sociale di Foligno.
So the Foligno cooperative?
At the time, they were called Enopolio Foligno. It was the social cellar of Foligno, trying to make a dry Sagrantino. And then there were us and another winery which doesn't exist anymore. And then after some years, also Bea. But we were among the first ones to experiment a dry way of making Sagrantino.
So when you say a dry, obviously Sagrantino is a red grape variety. So was it made slightly sweet in the
old days? Yes. Still now, if you talk to old people, old farmers, and you say Sagrantino, they mean a sweet wine. So Sagrantino was only made in a sweet way. It was the only way that people knew to make a vinification, to make wine from this very, very, very strange grape, very technique grape. So it was the best way to make sweet wine, a very precious wine, because you had a very low quantity from a big quantity of grapes.
Yeah, very rare wine.
It was
wine.
The wine, the feast, the parties, so a very precious wine. But the way to try to make it in a dry way in order to drink it at lunch, at dinner, starts from the 70s. So before, I don't have any knowledge of other experiment in this sense.
So your father started making it in a dry way.
Yes.
What was his inspiration? Are you saying France?
Yes. At the time we still make, for instance, a red wine from a blend of Merlot, Cabernet and Barbera, because we had also Barbera here in the area. It was very widespread. Now you can't find it anymore so much, but there were. And so this was a strange Bordeaux style, and then we made at the time a lot of white wine, because in the 70s the majority of the wine made in Italy was white, so the fashion was for white wines, and more than half production was of white wine, so Grechetto, which is our native white grape in my area, in Bevagna area, and mainly from Grechetto, and then also some Chardonnay we planted. And the other wines, the other red ones, were Sagrantino, sweet and dry. So this was the first production of the winery. With the time, we tried to implement the way of making the wines, not only the Sagrantino, also with the help of a very close friend of my father. He recently died, Alvaro Palini. He was a very close friend of my father, who lived in France and he was a tailor, not an enologist, but he was very passionate as my father of wines, and so my father, he had to come back to Italy for some reasons, and my father asked him, well, would you like to try to make wines? Let's start to study how to make a good wine. And Alvaro began to study by himself, and he was something like a pioneer in this sense, in this area.
So what was his methodology then? Obviously, in the 70s, some of the red wines had a bit of a reputation for being a little bit tough, a little bit hard. What was his plan to tame the Sagrantino, which can be quite tannic?
He experimented, of course, but first of all, the help of the technology. So my father bought refrigerated tanks and all these things that at the time were not so banal as now. And also the kind of barrels, the kind of wood, and the way to make the wine became more softer, the way to manage the grapes and the wines in a very delicate way, soft way, and waiting long time, both for the macerations, both for the aging of the wines. So all these kind of things that now are banal and
are common
and very, very clear for everybody, at the time were not so clear. So people used to make wine in a part from some regions of Italy, some exceptions in Piedmont and in Tuscany, but very, very exceptions.
Okay, so how do you feel, obviously being a sort of pioneering winery in the Montefalco region, there's been a huge influx recently of new vineyards, wineries, people coming from outside and investing in the region. Has that been a good thing or a bad thing?
It has been a good thing, I think, because we, for the whole area, it is a way to have more visibility and to be known, well known. In this sense, it's a good thing. In another sense, well, maybe this has taken the area some years ago to a boom of investments and so on, which were not well planned. Now the area is still a little area in comparison with other wine regions in Italy. But maybe too many vineyards have been planted in some years. Not anymore, because now no. But 10 years ago there was not a well-planned development.
So some vineyards may be being planted in areas where it would be hard for Sagrantino to ripen?
Not for the ripeness of the Sagrantino, but because many people came here to invest, to plant, without knowing how was the market, how was the Sagrantino as well, as you say. But it takes time to know Sagrantino, to know the area, like anywhere. Many people thought to become rich in a very sudden way, but it isn't like that. It isn't so fast, the process. So I think now it's more equilibrated.
More balanced.
Yes.
So in terms of sales, how does that work? Do you sell wine directly from the winery, or do you have international markets?
We have international market for 30%, more or less. And then the majority of the sales are in the region and in Italy.
So in the region, how do you sell wine directly from the winery? Can
yes.
Tourists come?
Tourism, yes. Tourists came more than in current times. Tourism in Umbria needs to be developed a lot. Also with the earthquake we had
a drop.
A drop of the tourism. So in the last 2 years I see that we should do more efforts to let people come here and appreciate the area.
How much do you sell from the winery door directly?
Directly, let's say 10% more or less.
So it's quite small.
Yes.
And your main markets abroad, in export markets, are?
It's like for everybody in Italy, it's the US market, of course. It's the most important.
So when you go to the United States with your Sagrantino, is the American market focused on drinking Sagrantino on its own, or drinking Sagrantino with food, say, classically, like a steak?
Both. Many people, strangely, Sagrantino is becoming well known in the passionate area of the wine lovers in US. So many people already know, not so well, but know this name, and at least once they tasted Sagrantino. And sometimes they prefer to drink it without anything, just to appreciate, or otherwise with a steak. The American market is a very nice market for us, because people are very curious and open-minded in this sense. So of course I always tell them this wine would need red roasted meat, but if they like to drink it with fish, no problem. No problem.
Yeah, that's what's interesting about America. A little vignette that you paint that when we think about the UK market, can be very conservative. You know, we drink Bordeaux with this kind of food, we drink champagne,
UK,
champagne in a certain way, and we can get a little bit stuck in our way of thinking. So it's quite interesting that you say that in America they're much more open-minded.
In this sense, yes, they are. No, it's also, a question of market. So in England, to sell wines like Sagrantino is difficult because of the taxes, it has a very, very high. I do sell in UK well. I have an importer who sells well my wine, but he mainly sells Montefalco Rosso, which is the little brother of Sagrantino, and it's easier to be sold because the price is easier.
So you make a Sagrantino di Montefalco and you make a Montefalco Rosso. What are the differences between the two blends? Your Sagrantino, is that 100% Sagrantino?
Yes, of course, always. If you say Sagrantino, it means 100%
Sagrantino. And the Montefalco Rosso?
Montefalco Rosso, by law, you have, you can put, if I'm not wrong, it's, no, it's from the 60 to, we put the 70% of Sangiovese, and then 15% of Sagrantino. Now it has been increased to the 20% by the new laws. But of Sangiovese, I think the minimum is 60% still, because they changed something. But we put 70% Sangiovese, and I care a lot of Sangiovese, because I like very much Sangiovese. I think it's the real Italian vineyard, so it is the most representative vine in Italy, so it's our character generally in the center of Italy, and so we take care a lot of our Sangiovese, and I like Sangiovese, and we put 70% 15% Sagrantino, and then some other the grapes that we have, so Merlot, Cabernet.
In the future, where do you see Sagrantino going? Do you think the boom will come to an end? Do you think there are difficult times ahead, or are you optimistic?
Moderately optimistic, in the sense that it is a wine which needs to be told.
And sold, we say.
Yes, yes. But I see that the interest is increasing, and the problem, you know, it's not what I think, it's the market. So I don't know what will happen in 5 years in the financial system of the world. We cannot do anything with that.
Okay, I just want to say thanks very much to Donatella Danti from Cantine Danti in the Montefalco region of Umbria. It's been great to talk to you. Very enthusiastic. And your family history is obviously a very special thing for you, that you're really one of the pioneers of Sagrantino.
Thank you.
Great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you very much to you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.